There's a lot going on today, isn't there? What's happening after Mass today? Who can tell me? Reconciliation. What else is happening for pretty much the whole day? Benediction, right? Part of it. That's how we're going to finish. And Eucharistic adoration, right? So after Mass, Jesus will be on the altar. We're going to go to confession, and we'll have a chance to pray with him for the day. That makes today a pretty special day, don't you think? How many people, when they're either at school or at work, get to just walk over and pray in front of the Eucharist or get to experience the sacraments? Not many, right? A lot of people are envious in a good way, wish that they could have the same chances that you have to pray throughout the day. So make today a great day. But today actually reminds me of when I was in seminary, because we had Eucharistic days. They're on the calendar. They were about twice a semester, so a couple of them in fall, a couple in spring. And what would happen is after Mass in the morning, and they were always on Wednesdays. So now I really feel like I'm back in seminary. So they're always on Wednesdays, and after Mass, the Eucharist would be in the monstrance on the altar and would stay there for the whole day. And all the seminarians, we'd take turns in half-hour slots coming in to pray with Jesus throughout the day. And then we'd have benediction before evening prayer at 6 o'clock. Now, we always had opportunities to pray in the chapel, of course, but these were special days, because even as we went about the building and went to our rooms and things like that, we knew that Jesus was there in a unique way. And so today, as you come and go from the church or you walk through the hallways, for the staff who come and go back through here, it's pretty unique to walk by the doors and think, oh, there's Jesus. To pop in and say hi, to say a little prayer. And looking at the gospel, I think this gospel is a perfect gospel for what we're doing today. After a journey, Jesus goes up a mountain. And we hear a lot of good things happen on top of mountains. We have mountaintop experiences. And the disciples sit down, and great crowds come to him. And who are they? It's not the perfect. It's not the ones who never did anything wrong. But the people that come to him are the people who need healing, that need holiness, that need to experience God's love. And what did Jesus do? He cured them. He made them whole. And then people were amazed that, hey, you were blind and now you can see. How's that possible? When we go to confession, we come out made whole. Whatever sin, whatever bad habit had been blinding us, Jesus cures when we go to confession. And sometimes other people will look at us and the good that we do and think, hey, weren't you the one that was a big troublemaker? Now you're doing good things? People will be amazed at what we can do when we let Jesus make us whole. And then the crowds got really hungry. Who could go 3 days without eating? A couple of you raised your hand. Good for you. I could never. I can't go 3 hours. But you're 3 days without eating, and Jesus is moved with pity. And here he has just a few loaves, 7 loaves and a few fish. But there's all these hundreds and maybe even thousands of people that are sitting in front of him hungry. And Jesus performs one of the great miracles, one of the great Eucharistic miracles, the multiplication of the loaves and fish, so that every single person who came to him was not only fed, but they were satisfied. You remember that line in the gospel? They were fed, they ate, and were satisfied. So it's not like they were hungry, took one bite, and oh, you had some food, so now you're good to go. No, they ate to the point that they were satisfied, comfortable, and nourished. Whenever we come to Mass and we receive the Eucharist, it's a small host, yes, but spiritually, we are fed, we are satisfied, and we are nourished. We're given everything that we need to lead holy lives and to be friends with Jesus, just in that host. But remember, that's not a symbol, is it? Is the host a symbol? I'm asking, is a host a symbol? No, I didn't hear you. Is the host the real presence of Jesus? Is it his body and blood? And what do we say when we receive Jesus? Oh, that wasn't loud enough. Amen. Now, don't scream that loud when you come to communion. But point being, who knows what amen means? I believe. So when that host is put in front of your face, about to be placed in your hand or placed on your tongue, when you say amen, you're saying, yes, I believe. Yes, Jesus, that's you. So we don't, amen. We don't mumble. We don't say nothing. We say with conviction and respectfully. We don't want to shout. I don't want to start that. But we say with conviction, amen. We look at Jesus in the eyes and say amen. When he's going to be on the altar all day and you're praying to him, you're not looking. I'll tell you a story. One of the first times my dad went to adoration, his faith grew as I grew up along the way. We'll just put it that way. So we're at adoration, and he's kind of looking funny. This was years ago. He goes, what's in the center of that thing? Meaning the monstrance. I said, Dad, that's the host. That's Jesus. He goes, oh, okay. But it was just kind of funny because there wasn't quite that connection there, but then he got it. So when you're kneeling here, when you take your turns to, as class comes in and pray, you're not just staring at some fancy gold thing. You're not just staring at a piece of bread in there. You're looking at Jesus. What a gift. And it's that host that nourishes you so that you can pray, so that you can do good. And when you have tough days, it's Jesus that helps you through it all. So adoration and reconciliation, they're kind of the same in the sense that it's both like going up a mountain to see Jesus. But of course, they're a little different. One's a sacrament, one isn't. But today is a day between reconciliation and adoration where we're climbing the mountain together to sit with Jesus, to talk with him, to listen to him, and to let him heal us. And that's the great gift that God gives us. Because in confession, we're all broken in some ways, right? We have the sins that we commit, the bad habits. But God's love is so great that not only did he give us the Eucharist, he forgives us in that sacrament. Because all God wants to do is love us. He's not looking back, keeping track of our sins. There isn't some scoreboard where he's keeping a tally of good deeds versus bad. Because let me tell you, none of our sins, no matter how bad they are or we think they are, none of our sins will ever define us. What defines us is the fact that we are sons and daughters of God and that he loves us and heals us. So if you're a little nervous about going back to confession today or if you're still kind of new, don't be. It'll be okay. All the priests coming are nice, I can promise you that. But it's a moment of love, not of judgment, not of fear, not of punishment. Penance is not punishment. Penance is a chance to regain that relationship with God and to let him love you. And then when you're in adoration, you know, sometimes we wonder, well, what do we do when we just sit here? What am I supposed to do? There's a lot of things you can do. You can journal. If you have something to write on, sometimes that's how I like to pray sometimes, is to write down things I want to say to God. Helps me slow down. Maybe you have a rosary with you or a prayer card. Maybe you just want to talk to Jesus like you're talking to a friend and just pray spontaneously. Or maybe today is a day where you just need to sit and listen. Maybe you've talked to him a lot lately and asked a lot of things. And now it's just time to sit and listen, to see what he puts on your heart. Whatever that gut instinct or wherever you feel like you're being tugged, that's probably God speaking. And so be patient with him, but listen and let him know what's on your heart. I'd like to share with you just a couple quotes to close. Who knows who my favorite saint is? Some of you do. Mrs. Fisher? Pope John Paul II, my favorite saint. And he wrote a lot of things, but one of the things he was known for was his great devotion to prayer. And in fact, when he was on a trip once, the people who were organizing the trip purposely closed a door that led to a chapel because John Paul was known that if he ever saw a chapel, he would wreck the whole schedule of the trip because he'd go pray for an hour and they'd be behind. So they knew a chapel was coming up, so they closed the door And the door looked like all the other doors along this hallway. And he comes up, stops, looks at the door, turned around to the priest who was kind of organizing the day, wagged his finger at him, and then John Paul went in and prayed in that chapel. Somehow he just knew. There was nothing else to clue him, no sign, nothing like that, but went in to pray. So this is what he said about Eucharistic adoration. And I kind of want you guys to listen because I think this kind of sums it up, and this will be a good way to end the homily, unless you want me to keep talking. No? Okay. St. John Paul said this. Thus, to say farewell, the Lord Jesus Christ, perfect God and perfect man, did not leave his friends a symbol, but the reality of himself. Under the form of bread and wine, he is really present, with his body and his blood, his soul and divinity. The Eucharist is the great secret of my day. This is John Paul speaking about himself. The Eucharist is the great secret of my day. It gives strength and meaning to all my activities of service to the church and the whole world. Let Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament speak to your hearts. It is he who is the true answer of life that you seek. He stays here with us. He is God with us. Seek him without tiring. Welcome him without reserve. Love him without interruption. Today, tomorrow, and forever. If there's just one sentence to sum up today between reconciliation and adoration, is let God love you today, tomorrow, and forever.